What happens when two teenagers from opposing sides of a tragedy find themselves in prison together, forced to protect each other to survive? In Mia Sheridan's psychological thriller, All the Little Raindrops, this question unfolds in the darkest possible circumstances. Noelle awakens in a cage barely large enough to stand, plunged into complete darkness. Her only companion is Evan, a boy from her high school who happens to be the son of the man she believes murdered her mother 12 years earlier. Their imprisonment is no coincidence. They've been selected as unwilling participants in a twisted game where wealthy voyeurs bet on their choices and reactions. As they fight for survival, they must confront not only their captors, but the bitter history between their families that may have orchestrated their shared nightmare. Noelle's world shrinks to a metal box with only a crude toilet and thin sleeping mat. In complete darkness, time loses meaning. Food appears through a small trap door irregularly. She screams until hoarse, pounds walls until her hands bruise, and begs for acknowledgement. Only silence answers. The rare moments when light floods her prison are almost worse, blinding fluorescent beams revealing only silhouettes of observers who never speak, treating her with clinical detachment. When darkness returns, it feels even more absolute. Human contact comes unexpectedly, a male voice groaning nearby. Evan describes being attacked leaving his gym. As they share details, a chilling revelation emerges. Evan is the son of Leonard Sinclair, whom Noelle has spent 12 years believing murdered her mother. This transforms their imprisonment into something more sinister. Their captors demonstrate sophisticated psychological torture. Complete darkness disrupts circadian rhythms, unpredictable feeding prevents tracking time, and brief light exposures maintain disorientation. Every aspect of their confinement seems designed to break them, while hidden cameras record everything. In a darkened observation room, the collector monitors Noelle and Evan through high-definition screens that capture everything, even whispers they believe private. Evan particularly interests him, a privileged youth now broken, his handsome face bruised, one eye swollen purple. The psychological manipulation follows a precise pattern. After days of darkness, industrial lights suddenly flood their cages. The collector observes how they cower and shield their eyes, pupils painfully contracting against the brightness. The operation's true purpose emerges when a uniformed man enters, announcing Noelle has been rented. This is a business offering humans as entertainment to wealthy clients with sadistic appetites. Noelle faces an impossible choice: go willingly or watch two of Evan's fingers be severed. Despite her terror, she chooses to protect Evan. On screen, betting odds update in real time. Wealthy viewers behind encrypted connections wager on whether Midori, their name for Noelle, would sacrifice herself. Some betting on courage, others on cowardice, all deriving pleasure from authentic human suffering in this theater of cruelty. When Noelle returns to her cage after being raped, Evan sings, "If all the little raindrops were lemon drops and lollipops," to give her privacy while she cleans herself. They lie facing each other through the bars, fingers linked in solidarity, transforming from antagonistic strangers to allies bound by shared trauma. Later, after Evan is brutally beaten, Noelle anxiously awaits his return. As he tends his wounds, she sings, "You are my sunshine," with deliberately wrong lyrics. "So I hung my head and a plan." Evan recognizes this as intentional. They've created a secret code through song lyrics, knowing they're being monitored. Their connection transcends their family's bitter history. In captivity, old grievances fade against survival needs. They protect each other not because they've forgotten the past, but because they refuse to let their captors strip away their humanity. Their trauma bond, forged through shared suffering and mutual protection, becomes both an emotional lifeline and strategic advantage as they reaffirm their pact to leave here whole. When their captors warn of a bloodier phase starting tomorrow, Noelle and Evan realize they must act immediately. Their food arrives with seemingly useless tools, nail scissors and a rubber chime mallet, which they quickly recognize as potential escape instruments. Their plan demands extreme sacrifice. Evan creates a distraction by shaking his cage, then deliberately smashes his own hand with the mallet, crushing bones to slip through the keypad lock. Noelle ingeniously creates fire using hidden graphite, rose petals, and an electrical outlet. Once free, Evan spreads the flames using wooden splinters from a broken counter before freeing Noelle, who bypasses the door's electronic panel with scissors. In the hallway, they overpower their captors. Evan kills one guard with an ice pick, and together they subdue the second. This sequence reveals the extraordinary lengths humans will go to for freedom. The fire becomes both literal and symbolic, consuming their prison while representing their rage against captivity. Their willingness to risk death demonstrates the fundamental human need for autonomy at any cost. 7 years after escaping, Evan runs a PI firm while Noelle has built a new life at Sweetgrass Cottages. When Evan finds her, he discovers she has his daughter, Callie, conceived during their brief reunion a year after freedom. Their investigation uncovers other victims with similar stories of captivity and impossible choices. They learn Noelle's mother worked as a housekeeper for Evan's father, not having an affair as claimed. She had found him watching torture footage and was gathering evidence when he killed her, then fabricated the affair story. More shocking, Noelle's father, seeking vengeance, had arranged Evan's placement in the game. When Evan's father discovered this, the organization refused to release his son, but allowed him to choose Noelle as Evan's match, cruelly endangering both families' children. Professor Vitucci ultimately reveals himself as Casper, a man with his own vendetta against the wealthy elites running the torture entertainment network. He admits to manipulating both fathers through therapy to gather information about their common enemy, Leonard Sinclair. The epilogue shows Noelle watching her daughter Callie collecting shells on the beach. When Evan appears, Callie runs to him joyfully, unaware he's her biological father. His inquiry about local PI work reveals he's settling near them. Their conversation flows with deliberate lightness and inside jokes about Noelle's coffee habits. Yet this ordinary banter represents profound healing. Each shared laugh defies their captors, who tried to destroy their capacity for normal connection. When Evan gives Noelle her mother's ring, worn as a promise on her right hand, it symbolizes their transformation, their choice to reclaim joy from tragedy and build trust where betrayal existed. The children's song that gives the book its title evolves from a shield against horror to an anthem of resilience. As they walk home together, they demonstrate the possibility of transcending trauma. The raindrops that once symbolized tears have transformed into something sweeter, not through magic, but through their conscious choice to build a future anchored in truth, knowing they've already faced their darkest hours together.